so who knows what I'm talking about tonight? I'm talking about the Bible, right? Anybody see that on MySpace? When I was a young lad, and I'm still pretty young, but when I was a little younger, a little wee smaller, I try and read the Bible, every year, the thing, the calendar would roll around, it'd be January, and it would be time to start and try to read your whole Bible through, and so I'm doing it this year. Grandma's on my case again. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for my grandma, and I'd start reading Genesis, and I kind of start getting discouraged because I didn't really understand it, and after a while, I'm the kind of guy who when he doesn't understand something and he gets confused, he feels like really dumb, and I don't like to feel dumb. That's not kind of what I like to feel. But I'm also the kind of guy who doesn't like to ask for help at all. I like to try and figure everything out on my own. So if I get discouraged, I kind of stop reading it. And that's not good. And so hopefully tonight I want to kind of share with you some facts about the Bible that will help you to understand even the things that maybe don't make some sense. Like when I was younger, I'd try and be like, how does Song of Solomon and Exodus, how does that have anything to do with anything? It's like those two things just really don't mesh together. It all just seems kind of like this random mishmash hodgepodge of books and chapters. And, I could never figure it out. And, Revelation, how does that even relate to anything? That just freaks me out. And so tonight I want to share with you some cool facts about the Bible that will hopefully help you to understand it a little better, and then maybe even hopefully help you to read it a little better. Okay? So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to share some Bible facts with you. And the first one is, that's cool. You see how that's like all random up there? Just like random stuff. It's like a collage, you could say, a mosaic. Anyway, the first Bible fact is that the Bible is inspired by God and free from any errors in its original writings. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. What that means that the Scripture is God-breathed, that means that the Bible is God's word. This is God's word to us. It's not man's word. God spoke it through men, but it is God's word. And I hope to be able to explain that to you guys tonight, and hopefully you'll be confident in that when you leave here. The second fact, and I love this one. This one just makes me smile. Okay, you guys ready? The Bible was written by 44 different authors who worked in about 20 different occupations, all living in different places over a 1,500-year span of time in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, living in 10 different countries on three different continents, Asia, Africa, Europe, spanning about 6,000 miles. Okay, so this just sounds like a big random group of folks. It's not, the people who wrote the Bible, they were all very, certain type of people. This is from every single walk of life, we have people who contributed to helping write the Bible. God spoke to them and they wrote it down. Number three, it actually has more ancient evidence to back it up than any other 10 works of literature combined. When people research all the facts in the Bible, where it says this was here and that was there and this was here and that was there, as far as a historical document goes, it's always right. It's never wrong. And that is, mind-boggling when you consider how big of a hodgepodge of folks put it together. Number four, no prophecy about biblical events and all that has ever gone unfulfilled. Number five, the Bible has been published and sold and translated more than any other book in history. Something like 2,100 languages the Bible has been translated into. That's a lot of languages. Since like 1800... over 5 billion copies of the Bible have been sold. Like, I can't even wrap my mind around that number. It's gigantinormous. And number six, the Bible was the first book printed on the first printing press. Did you guys know that? The first thing, We got this printer. You know, we've been writing things down and copying it by hand for, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. Or thousands of years. And now we got this printer. We got this inkjet from HP. And the first thing we're going to do is, what are we going to print? We're going to print the Bible, you know? I mean, that's just the coolest thing in the world to me. But I want to spend a little bit of time on point number two tonight. And that was that really long one about the hodgepodge group of people over a huge span of time. And so I'm going to need 8. We need 8 volunteers. I like to involve the crowd. Can I have 8? Can I have 8 volunteers tonight? 8? Man, come on, guys. It's like pulling teeth tonight. So when you read the Bible, that God's trying to bring us back to himself, that God's showing us his plan of salvation. Lord Jesus, I pray you would bless each one of these young people here tonight. Lord, help them to have a better understanding of you and what you're trying to do in their lives. Lord, I thank you for each one of them. I pray that they would understand how much you love them and how much you want to be for them, and that you sent your son to die on the cross for them. Lord, I pray you bless us as we go out tonight, and make us a blessing to our families and our neighbors and our friends. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so check this out. The Bible was written over a, what did I say, 1,500-year span of time by 44 different people. We have 8 people up here tonight. Okay, and now the Bible never contradicts itself. Written by 44 different people over a millennium and a half, and it never contradicts itself. That's, you know, pretty unbelievable. So what we're going to do here tonight is we're going to do a little illustration. If we could get in a line, and what you guys are going to do, you're going to tell a story about giving your dog a bath, okay? But the way you're going to do it is Curtis is going to start the story off, and you're going to say one word, okay? And you're going to pass the mic to Dave, and then to Devin, and then to Corey, and on down the line, okay? And you can only say one word. So, for example, say my story was about going to the grocery store. First person, I went to the grocery store and... Okay, so you have the concept down. No collaboration? What is this? I need a new sample group. I need a new... These. No, just okay. Okay. Do you guys understand this? Are you cool? Okay, we're starting over here. Because I just do what everybody tells me.
The dog barked loudly.
Very loudly.
At.
Take it back.
Pants.
When?
Okay.
Recap. The dog barked loudly, very loudly at pants when
I washed
he went.
Fur.
What'd you say?
Fur. Yesterday.
I got in the bathtub.
What? What'd you say? One word. One word.
Bath.
Tub.
Without.
A.
Yes. Care. In.
So my point is, does this story make any sense at all? No. It's a complete and total mess. And that was the point. Okay, thank you. Everybody give my group a big hand for telling a whole horrible story about not much. Okay, and these are all people from San Antonio, Texas, who are high school students who live in the same culture, who live in the same time, who live in the same decade. They share so many different things. these 44 different authors were completely different in about every single way imaginable. They all spoke three different languages. Half of them, that means a third of, two-thirds of them couldn't even read what the other person had written, okay? But the Bible still makes complete sense from the front to the back, and it never contradicts itself. That in itself is proof enough that it wasn't some kind of man's idea or that it wasn't something devised, you know, by man. You know, that's pretty radical. Who knows who this is? Billy Graham. Billy Graham is one of my heroes. I love this guy. This guy has been responsible for bringing more people to Jesus than, you know, next to Jesus himself. He's the man, and as far as I'm concerned. But Billy Graham said this. It's a really cool quote. He said, "Ideas, books, and people come and go, but the Bible and its truth it contains is for all time." The Bible has been attacked by more people than any other written piece of literature in the world, but yet it still stands true. Ever since the Bible has been written, has been attacked and, you know, said it wasn't true and said, you know, everything in it's a lie and it contradicts itself, but it never has. And I think that that's pretty remarkable that still today it stands true. I want to show you guys a couple of prophecies from the Old Testament. Because a lot of times the Old Testament, I would always have a hard time like figuring it out. And here are some prophecies about Jesus from the Old Testament. And I think they will help strengthen your belief that the Bible is authentic. Isaiah, the first one. He foreshadowed the virgin birth of Jesus. Now this was, you know, about 700 years before Jesus was born, and he said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel." Okay? 700 years before Jesus is on the scene, this guy hears the voice of the Lord, and he writes this down. Okay, next one. That he would be born in Bethlehem. And there's the verse to go along with that. Next one. You can see that all of these are like way before Jesus was born. That was that he would come into Jerusalem riding on the donkey. You remember that? And they all threw down palm branches. All of this, all these things about Jesus was foretold lots and lots and lots of years before he was born. Next. Zechariah, that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Even to the detail about what was going to happen with the silver. And there in Zechariah it says something about a potter and that it would be given to a potter. Well, in Matthew 27:5, everybody knows that Jesus was betrayed by Judas, right? For 30 pieces of silver. In Zechariah, it says that, but it also says in Matthew 27:5-7, so Jesus threw the money into the temple. This is after he had realized what he had done. He threw the money into the temple and then he left. And then he went away and hung himself. But the chief priests picked up the coins and said, "It's against the law to put this money back into the treasury. We have to do something else with it because it's blood money." So they decided to go out and buy a potter's field. And that's what it says here, that he threw them into the house of the Lord and went back to the potter. You know, that's so insane, these little details that are woven into the Bible, into the Old Testament. And a lot of times we look at the Old Testament and we think it's just a bunch of random things, you know, a bunch of random pieces that don't really make sense. Oh, this is that Jesus was going to be spat upon and beaten. And have his beard plucked out, which happened to Jesus. Anybody ever see Passion of the Christ? You know, Jesus was beaten, but that was foretold hundreds of years beforehand, you know, almost a millennium beforehand that was going to happen to him. And the next one is kind of, you know, if you're like, oh, that's all Old Testament and that doesn't really matter anymore. There was a prophecy about 500 or 600 BC about Egypt. Everybody knows Egypt, right? Egypt, it's a country over in the Middle East. It used to be the world power. Egypt used to be like the United States, okay? Had the biggest army, had the biggest military, had the most wealth. Egypt was the world power. And while they were the world power, Ezekiel prophesied that God was going to make it so weak because of what he had done to the Israelites that it would never rule again. And Egypt today has no rule over any other countries. In fact, in 1948, 1967, and 1973, it tried to attack Israel, and it has lost every single time, even though Egypt is twice as big and has 10 times the army than Israel. So, you know, that's kind of a prophecy that we're seeing fulfilled here in modern day. So the Bible is definitely 100% true. A common theme that runs through the Bible, like I just showed you, especially in the Old Testament, is that Jesus is the common theme. A lot of times in the Old Testament, if you don't understand something, it is talking about Jesus himself. Basically, there's a theme of the Bible, and that is that God is trying to redeem us, a sinful people, back to himself, a holy God. And this overshadows every book of the Bible. And if you read the Bible with that theme in mind, okay, that this whole story, this whole book, all 66 books are about God trying to bring us back to himself. That we messed up, that we sinned, and now this is the story of how he's bringing us back to him. And how does God bring us back to him? What was his plan for that? His plan of salvation was Jesus. He sent his son so that we would no longer be separated with sin from God, and that we, through Jesus, we can come to God. Right? Everybody understand that? Right? Can I get some sort of affirmation? Amen. So, my question and my answer is that the Bible is, you know, a lot of times it seems like it's random when you look at specific pieces, you know. But if we look at it in the whole with the idea that Jesus is really what it's all about, we kind of start to see a picture that it's not just about the individual books of the Bible. The whole thing is about Jesus himself and about how God's trying to bring us back to him. So if we take things and isolate them and say, okay, this verse in Ezekiel or this verse in Zechariah, you know, what does that even mean? That doesn't even make any sense. What's that even talking about? But if you take it with the idea in mind that, okay, God's trying to bring us back to himself and this somehow Jesus is in this, a lot of these things make sense. So anyway, that's kind of a picture. You can kind of see Jesus there, right? Yeah, anyway. So that's really the point of my message tonight is that when we read the Bible, we need to be thinking about Jesus. You know, we need to see, okay, how does this relate to what God's trying to do today? How does this relate to what God's trying to do in my life? How does this relate to God trying to bring me back to him? And when we read the Bible with that sort of understanding, when we read the Bible thinking about with the understanding that it's all really about God and him trying to bring us back to him, it makes a little bit more sense.